Social Skills Coaching by Patrick King, a Newton Media Group production. Today is Monday, November 9th, 2020. Taking from Patrick King's book, The Art of Everyday Assertiveness, today we check into writing our own personal bill of rights to ensure that we are properly assertive. And then, despite what Elsa says, we learn when it's appropriate not to let it go. It's your responsibility to assert your personal bill of rights, as no one is going to do it for you. You can't depend on people to consider how they might be infringing on them, as they'll be focusing on how they can achieve their own satisfaction. Being able to say, "I know my rights and you can't stomp on them," allows you to assert yourself in order to fulfill them. The accumulation of contorted messages saying you must be selfless to be a good person leads to feeling guilty or selfish for asserting these rights. Losing sight of your personal bill of rights happens because of the conditioning that forces you to believe you should put others before yourself unconditionally. As you read the rights described below, notice whether any of them surprise you. You'll realize that actions or phrases you've been afraid of using for fear of seeming flaky, selfish, rude, or stupid are actually your rights. They're the key to being assertive because they give you permission to act as your authentic self, guilt-free. And again, they might feel not nice, but that's because your definition of nice needs to change. It's your right to not justify your behavior with excuses. You don't have to give reasons or agree to things you don't want to do because you're worried that your reasons don't seem good enough. If you don't want to attend an event because you want to spend quality time with your dog, that's valid and no one can judge. You don't owe someone something just because your justification doesn't align with their values. It's your right to change your mind. What was possible when you agreed to something might not be possible anymore. This is normal in a world where the only constant is change. It's a shame to inconvenience someone, but you have to look after yourself. It's your right to say, "I don't know." Capable people often have the burden of being the problem solver thrust upon them by people who have the ability to find the solution but don't want to put the time in. You don't have to go out of your way to find answers to things that aren't useful to you. Just because you have an ability or skill doesn't mean other people are privileged to it. This also applies in situations where people want to rush decisions out of you. It's your right to be illogical in your decision-making. If you've saved for years for a house and one day decide to blow it all on a trip around the world, that's up to you. Others' expectations of you based on patterns of your previous behavior aren't something you have to conform to forever. It simply doesn't matter if no one can understand why you're doing something. It's your right to decide which of other people's problems you have a responsibility to solve. No matter how persuasive the cries of, "You have to help me," may be, only you can make that choice. If you have the time and resources to help someone, then this can be a positive experience for you both. But you need defenses in place to prevent you from feeling pressured, blackmailed, or helpless. If you were to solve everyone else's problems, who would take care of yours? Certainly not the people you're helping. It's your right to say, "I don't care." There will always be people who drain you and demand your attention for every little drama in their life. There are only so many good causes you can champion. You have to draw the line somewhere. For everything you don't care about, there will be someone else who does care and can do what you're not willing to. You've now seen just how many things you deserve that you've been missing out on because you haven't realized that the only person who can provide them all is yourself. You deserve to prioritize yourself and be the hero in your own movie, not the martyr who gives their life to save everyone else. Prioritizing time for you to meet your own needs and giving up the pursuit of altruism will improve your well-being. You can't please everyone all the time, so start with yourself, which is the first step to assertiveness. Takeaways. 1. Assertiveness requires a delicate balance, especially if you are new to it. You may have started as too passive, but take care not to swing into the aggressive territory where you're robbing other people of their needs. You can't control what others do or how they might respond to you, but you can control your own behavior. 2. Tony Robbins succinctly articulated the 6 needs of human happiness you're likely keeping yourself from as a result of lacking assertiveness. They are certainty, variety, significance, love and connection, growth, and contribution. This is what's at stake every time you come to a fork in the road and consider shrinking away from the moment. It's not trivial and can lead you to a life you want or a life you don't. 3. The power to live as you want is within your hands, not to be dictated by the acceptance or tolerance of the people around you. Yes, sometimes that might require you to step on the toes of other people, but you are not living for other people. Being less nice, and even aggressive, as studies have shown, is paramount to happiness and getting what you want. 4. Write the personal Bill of Rights down and post it on a wall in your home. These are rights, not privileges or luxuries. It's easy to forget until someone snaps you out of it. Right from the outset, you might feel that you're becoming someone that's mean and not nice, but that's because your definition of nice has become skewed over the years. While children throughout the world regularly belt the theme song from the Disney movie Frozen and encourage everyone to let it go when it comes to being taken advantage of over and over, letting it go and pretending the treatment will disappear on its own rarely helps the situation. Whether it is an innate need to please others, a strong desire to avoid conflict at all costs, or a misguided attempt to do the right thing, people who avoid being assertive often find themselves the victim in certain relationships and are desperately looking for a way out. While compromise, working together, and making sacrifices in various relationships are not faulty character traits, there are those who will take advantage of a peacekeeper's good nature, thus making the peacekeeper feel disregarded, disrespected, and devalued. Those traits alone will only hurt you unless they're not balanced with the capacity for assertiveness. This chapter will explore the dynamics that keep you from asserting your needs. It's not because you seek to make yourself a selfless, sacrificial lamb. Instead, it's typically something more insidious at work, whether it's from someone else or from yourself in the form of toxic beliefs. We'll talk about the beliefs that skew your reality first. Toxic beliefs. 4 beliefs in particular tend to come up repeatedly in a lack of assertiveness. First, for some, there's the distorted belief that serving others is natural and that looking out for oneself comes last. This is where you might recognize that you've become a helpaholic and consistently put others' needs before yours. Here, relationships are all about serving, and the more one-sided, the better. Over time, they may have generalized such a tendency to subordinate themselves to everyone else they meet in their lives. If you possess this belief, it's easy to see how extreme guilt would prevent you from doing otherwise. Secondly, many people-pleasers suffer from self-worth issues. They feel a sense of self-worth and a chance for acceptance only if they say yes to everything asked of them. Third, many of those who are eager to please equate pleasing people with kindness and being good. Conversely, they equate saying no and self-assertion with harshness and being bad. This mindset makes them vulnerable to being taken advantage of, and they do everything they can to preserve that image of always being good. And fourth, a lack of assertiveness can rise when people behave from a plain fear of confrontation. They would rather bite their tongue until they bleed than say anything to rock the boat, ultimately building a life of resentment and unexpressed emotions. We'll go through each of these beliefs individually next. The need to please and serve. From the time you were young, you're likely to have been taught that being considerate of others is always more admirable than putting yourself first. You are praised for being generous enough to share that pack of cookies with your sibling, or to give that other kid a chance to play on the swing after you've had some time on it. On the other hand, you were admonished every time you refused to share or stand aside for the sake of others. While there are certainly important values ingrained in such teachings and experiences, for example, those of generosity and compassion, they are typically taught with such one-sided vigor that you're likely to have developed a distorted belief that you're never allowed to put yourself first. You've grown to believe that you should always serve and put others first instead, to the point that doing things for yourself brings about intense feelings of guilt on your part. You've simply been conditioned to think that doing those things for yourself is cause enough for scorn and self-reproach. So when you do upset or displease someone by prioritizing yourself, you feel immense guilt. Guilt that you take as a sign that you violated some significant moral code. You consider that huge guilt as a reminder that refusing others and prioritizing yourself must be bad, and that you should therefore just stick to putting others first all the time. So in addition to feeling guilty and putting yourself first, the intense need to please and serve others also derives from a feeling of responsibility for others' emotions and reactions. If refusing to grant a favor causes a friend to feel bad or neglected, you feel that that's on you. You feel answerable to for every disheartened expression or disappointed look because you believe you had the power to avert that if only you succumbed to what they wanted. And because you feel responsible for everyone else's happiness and mental health, you are willing to sacrifice your own just to save everyone else from feeling bad or troubled. You become overly eager to do whatever it takes to keep everyone happy, believing that such is a sign you're taking the best part of your relationships with others. The problem with this mentality is that it reflects a skewed view of what healthy, satisfying relationships are all about. Healthy relationships involve a certain degree of give and take, a balance between considering others' needs and seeing to it that you don't neglect your own. Serving others and wanting happiness for the people in your life are reasonably worthy desires, but not at the expense of your own health and happiness. Thanks for joining us again today. If you haven't gotten your free mini book on conversation tactics by Patrick King, visit his website at bit.ly/pkconsulting. That link is in the show notes. And register to get a free mini book on conversation tactics. You'll also find in the show notes links to the episode transcript. Today's material was from The Art of Everyday Assertiveness, now available as an audiobook on Audible. Thanks for joining us today. We'll see you Wednesday.